Chapter 4, Here Am I, Send Me, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Because the Lord had been so good to me, I was drawn close to Him, and as a consequence, I now grew to hunger for His word. At that time, the spiritual condition of the Christians in Madras city was very dark. There were here and there a few groups where the gospel was preached, but all around were coldness and death. I went from church to church trying to find a home and spiritual food, but without my heart's need being really satisfied. Eventually, discouraged, I stopped attending anywhere. There was no open-air preaching then in Madras. Neither had the Pentecostal missions begun working in the city except for a small group in Royapettah. A clear, outspoken gospel witness such as I had known in the South was hard to find. Often in those days, I would walk out in the evening after office hours to Triplicane Beach. There, sitting on the shore watching the waves, my cry to God was, "How long, O Lord, how long?" In 1925, my brother R.P. Dorairaj came to Madras and joined me. We lived together as bachelors in Portuguese Church Street. But the following year, I sent to Pambam for my mother and the rest of the family to come also. At first, we all went to live north of the harbour of Royapuram. Then early in 1927, we settled with a distant uncle who was a lawyer in the High Court and who resided in Georgetown. There, I was miraculously delivered from becoming involved with Jehovah's Witnesses. Frequent Bible classes conducted by these people were being held in this uncle's house. Not knowing my Bible well, I mistakenly thought that this was the opportunity for Bible instruction which I had been seeking. So I put all my heart and soul into it. They were also publishing a monthly Tamil magazine, and I became for a time their magazine secretary. They kept a good library, and I began to read all the books, including the 5 volumes of Studies in the Scriptures by Pastor Charles T. Russell. I read these very carefully, becoming fascinated by his plan of the ages. Until one day, I came across a statement of his which denied the deity of Christ, saying that he was no more than perfect man and certainly not God manifest in the flesh. This was a great shock to me, and I went to my aunt, who also belonged to this group, and asked her for an explanation. She suggested I refer the point to the teacher of the Bible class. This I did, and the reply I obtained failed to satisfy me. Finally, I learned the real character of the Russellite movement, and I left it once for all. From Georgetown in 1928, we moved to Royapettah in the south of the city. I had now joined the Tucker Memorial Church of the CMS in Broadway. For too long, I had lacked helpful spiritual fellowship, and my own life with the Lord was by now at a very low ebb. Life in the MSM railway was not always straightforward. I had been placed, I discovered, in the coal mining section of the accounts office because the Hindus in the railway wanted me out of the way in a quiet siding. There was nothing to do there, but I made my work a matter of prayer and went and got out all the files on coal mining and in due course learned the whole history of the railway mining business. Now it came about that the office was organizing an accountancy institute and my chief, a Mr. Gopalan, called me to him. "Rajamani," he said, "someone must read an essay to the institute on some aspect of the MSM accounts and everyone else is refusing. Would you do it?" I went away and prayed and began scribbling a history of the mining account. When Mr. Gopalan saw it, he insisted that I read it, and it was greeted with warm applause. The chief accountant asked to see me, and as a result, he chose me to visit Calcutta and look into the whole question of railway mining in Bihar and Orissa. This I did 3 years running. The MSM mining accounts were at the time operated by an officer of the East Indian Railway, and I was able to show that to transfer these accounts to our own office and handle them ourselves would result in an immense financial saving. In due course, the London headquarters authorized the transfer, and when it was made, I was promoted from junior to superintendent clerk, a raise from rupees 65 to rupees 140 per month. In May 1930, I married Navanitham Gabriel. Born in Madras, she was the daughter of my mother's sister. I called her Navani. She was a teacher in Bentinck High School and a girl of real character. We were married on May 5th in St. John's SPG Church, Egmore, from the home of Dr. P. Samuel, and we lived first in Royapetta. Then in 1933, when Dorai Raj had married, we shared a house with him and Menonomini in Purasavalkam. Thus, God brought our two families close together. I was prospering now in my work, but my spiritual life was correspondingly poor. In April 1933, I was again in Calcutta on railway business, and having a pass, I took leave for Easter week and went to Darjeeling, staying at the Snow View Hotel. On Good Friday, the weather was clear and I looked out on a perfect view of the Kanchenjunga snows. My heart became filled with love for the hill folk in the villages around. "Who will tell these people of Jesus Christ?" I asked myself. Little did I dream that we should soon be sending messengers there from our own Tamil Nadu. I went indoors. There was a piano in the hotel sitting room, and I sat down and began playing and singing. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory dies." At that moment, the song came back to me, sung by the children of the nearby Anglo-Indian school. "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." It came to me a message from God. Such love should have my all. Then in 1935, my younger sister Jayamani died. She was next in age to me, and we had been very close together. She had been living for some years in Kandy, Ceylon, where I had once visited her on the estate where her husband worked. Now, because of ill health, she had set out on a journey to Madras. On her way, she stopped off with our mother's relatives in Christianpetta, and while there she received her home call. The sorrow of her unexpected going drove us all closer to God once again. We made the journey to Christianpetta, and this brought us back once more to some of the scenes of our childhood and recalled to us memories of God's past loving kindness. The road there from Srivilliputtur leads to a lovely green bay in the hills that is fertile and well-watered. There, beside a silted lake, when he cleared and restored to use my mother's grandfather. There, by a silted lake which he cleared and restored to use, my mother's grandfather, John Christian Arulappan, founded the village in 1842. It was designed as a settlement for some of those born again out of Hinduism through his witness, and so he named it Christianpetta. 2 years earlier, he had given up a regular mission salary in order to work trusting in the Lord alone. This step God greatly honored, giving him in the years that followed a ministry far beyond the immediate locality. As now we laid Jayamani to rest near him, it seemed to us that something of the influence of his remarkable life of faith clung to the place. We carried the impression away with us. On our return from the south, Dorai Raj and I felt a new awakening of our love for the Lord, and we began to pray much together. At length, we drew up a document pledging ourselves before God and His angels to serve Him in the future. We did not know how to begin, and there was none to guide us. One of the things Jayamani had spoken to me about in Kandy was tithing. So we decided to tithe our income and to appoint an evangelist, a Christianpetta man, to preach the gospel in those unreached southern villages. Those were the days of our ignorance, and Dorai Raj even once tithe some money he had won at the races. Others of the family joined with us in this project. It was a good idea and we were sincere in our aims, but the scheme did not work well. What the Lord desired of us was our service, not our money. To send another to preach is no substitute for going oneself. Eventually, the preacher we had appointed came himself to feel it was wrong to work for a salary. So after about a year, the plan was abandoned. God, we were soon to discover, had other work for us. It was in October of this same year, 1935, that an evangelist from Travancore named Sadhu Kochikunju came to Madras to preach the gospel. He had an ashram near Trivandrum in association with Ponnamal Sannyasini and others. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and his exposition of the word greatly helped me. He sang a song in Malayalam which went, "Everyone attends to his own affairs, but not one soul cares for the work of the Lord." This pricked my heart, for just then it was perfectly true of me. I was merely criticizing others. "This Madras," I complained, "is no place to work for God in." On the final day of his special meetings in St. Andrew's Church, Cholai, he wanted us all to go for open-air preaching in a professing of witness. I went reluctantly and thought of following for some distance only and then returning home. At the head of the procession, two small boys were carrying a banner displaying the words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And a number of sturdy young men followed singing songs. It was a monsoon season and an afternoon of high winds. I was well dressed in my best suit with stiff collar, tie, and felt hat. I was about to move away from the procession when at a street corner I noticed that the two boys were struggling with the banner in the strong, turbulent gusts. In my heart, I was reproaching the young men. "These tadangal have left the job to little boys," I grumbled. Then the Lord spoke clearly to me, "What about you?" As soon as I heard that voice, my pride snapped. I ran to the front and took the stick from one of the boys. Seeing this, another young man came running and took the hold of the opposite stick. Together we strode ahead, holding aloft the saving message. This was how the Lord drew me into His active service. It was a revolution in my life. From that day, I began to preach the gospel with all my heart and soul. The local Pentecostal preacher was a gifted evangelist in whose home a number had been meeting for prayer, and as my brother and I became increasingly burdened with the spiritual conditions and the need of the lost around us, he urged us to join forces with him. "You two are like Abraham's wells, which the Philistines stopped up," he said. "You must be opened again. As for me, I have little education. Please come and help me." We stipulated only one thing, that he should refrain when we went out together from preaching the specific Pentecostal doctrine of speaking with tongues as necessary proof of receipt of the Spirit, a doctrine about which we felt uneasy. Together we would proclaim only the simple gospel of salvation through the blood of Christ. This he agreed to, and we began to go out regularly with him on Saturdays and public holidays, preaching in the city streets. We printed and distributed our own tracts, and in Kelly Street, Vepery, we erected a pandal and conducted gospel meetings. These were very refreshing times, and soon an increasing number of young men from various denominations joined with us in this good work. Thus, there came into being in 1935 the Vepery Gospel League. It had no constitution, nor membership, nor subscription list, but found its unity and strength in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our free, wholehearted committal of ourselves to Him. By its means, the Lord began to prepare many young men for a great work in the years to come, and one that should likewise be based on the principle, not of organization, but of life in Christ. I have preserved the report read at the League's first anniversary meeting on October 16, 1936, at which the corporation chief engineer, Mr. I. Kurian, presided. It breathes the atmosphere of those days and the spirit of love and joy in the Lord in which we move together. I have felt it right, therefore, in spite of its length, to reproduce it here in full length. Annual Report of the Gospel League, Weppery, Madras, for the year 1935-36. I have great pleasure in submitting the first annual report on the working and progress of the Gospel League, Weppery, Madras, for the year 1935-36. A memorable year in which our merciful Father called us and inspired us to carry on His will and last testament. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. I glorify in the Lord that at His call, a number of young men belonging to various missions and churches spontaneously rallied to His standard and are doing this glorious work with ever-increasing enthusiasm. I have not much to present to you in the form of a report. Indeed, the League has not done anything. Everything done was done by our Master and Savior. We were merely the recipients of special favors from God. My present attempt is, therefore, only to bear testimony to what great things God has done for us. The history of the League. The League had an humble origin. About 2 years ago, Mr. Gopal Daniel, a voluntary and selfless worker for Christ, collected a few devoted men and started prayer meetings in the evenings on Wednesdays and Sundays in his house. The Lord heard their prayers and blessed the attempt immensely. As more and more members gathered every week, they had to search for a house with larger accommodation. Seeing the difficulty experienced, Mr. Devapiriam, now an active member of the League, placed his spacious compound at the disposal of Mr. Gopal Daniel for the erection of a shed, which was constructed chiefly with the help of Mr. Arul and the converts from the Parambur criminal settlement. It was then only about half the size of the present shed, and as more and more people began to gather, it became necessary to enlarge it to the present size. I now come to the happenings of the year under review. In October last, Sadhu Kochu Kanju of Travancore was in Madras. He was invited to come and speak to us in the shed for 3 days. We could not, however, hold the meetings in this place as it was raining heavily and continuously. Seeing our plight, the Reverend Subramanian placed St. Andrew's Church at our disposal. A very large number of people gathered to hear the Sadhu. For 3 days, he thundered God's message, and on the third day, the 20th October 1935, he invited all who were willing to serve Christ to come and assemble in the church compound, prepared to go out and preach in the streets. A few men gathered at 4 p.m. that day and started in procession to Thana Street in Puru Savalkam, singing to the accompaniment of drums and violins. On that day and in that hour, the Gospel League was born. From that Sunday onwards, the League has been and is doing the work every week without missing a single Sunday. The strength of the League has grown from 7 to about 30. The object of the League. It is needless to mention that the object of the League is to announce the good news to those who have not heard the mighty name of Jesus. Many of you will be surprised to learn that there are miles and miles of streets in Madras where the good tidings have not been proclaimed, and there are thousands and thousands of people, especially women, who have not heard the wonderful name of Jesus. It came as a painful surprise to the League that even those who live in the midst of Christians were ignorant of salvation through Christ. The members of the League, therefore, dedicate themselves and resolved in Christ to carry the message to each and every house and as far as possible to each individual by a systematic and methodical propaganda work. To achieve this object, we have adopted a bold and novel method of going along the streets in procession, singing songs to the accompaniment of drums and other musical instruments. The banner you see here is carried in the front by two members to enable even a running man to read the life-giving message. Badges with selected verses written on them are worn by members with same object. The music helps us to distribute tracts to the people in every house when they come out to see the tamasha. Above all, this act, going in procession, has helped the members to cast off fear and shyness in the cause of Christ. At the start, there was a certain amount of reluctance of some members to wear badges, to sing along the streets at the top of their voice, to cry the banner, and to beat the drums. But now, praise be to Jesus, each and every one is ready to do this, and even humbler work, for His glorious name. Special mention should be made of the Brothers of the Criminal Settlement, who are the salt of this league. Criminals they were, and thieves of the worst type. Now, glory to their Savior, He has turned them from thieving to soul winning. The activities of the league. I am happy to announce to all those who are gathered here that God had made it possible for the league to sow the seed in all the streets and by-lanes of Pura Savalkam, Vepri, Kosapet, Vyasarpadi, Cholai, and Periyamet. During the Christmas holidays, the league preached and distributed in Park Fair every day. Whenever we went, praise be to His name, we had an open door. There was some opposition at the beginning from the members of Arya Samaj. They, however, could not stand long. The name of Jesus has shattered all their attempts and they rarely approach us now. Our method of work was to start from his place at about 3 or 3:30 p.m., proceed for a few furlongs distributing tracts, stop at a convenient place to deliver the message, and then proceed further, doing similarly until 6:30 p.m. Mr. Gopal Daniel does not like his name to be mentioned in the report, but it is impossible to refrain from doing so, as he has been the organizer, inspirer, and leader of the league. His stirring sermons, delivered in the shed every Wednesday and Sunday, have given us all new strength and vigor. Being a convert himself, he is able to arrest the attention of any big crowd of Hindus and Muslims by his convincing testimony and earnest and eloquent argument. May God bless him and make him more and more useful to many souls in this city of Madras. What we have done so far is very little. Much remains to be done. We have a threefold program chalked out for the coming year. With God's help, we propose, 1, to extend our activities to Parktown, Georgetown, and Chintadripet. 2, to distribute tracts every evening to passengers at Central and Egmore stations. And 3, to conduct preaching work on weekdays also. We earnestly pray that God, in His infinite mercy, may help us to carry on this work successfully during the coming year. The league's finances. It is unusual in every report of this kind to present an account of income and expenditure, but we have none. We have no accounts to render. The membership is free. In fact, there is no such thing as membership. It is open to all. We have no subscription list, except for the free willing offering box placed over there. We do not take a collection in our meetings. We maintain no registers or any documents. There is not a scrap of manuscript kept for the purpose. We pay none or beg of none. We have no presidents, secretaries, treasurers. The secret of the success of this league was and is due to the complete absence of monetary transactions. What is essential for the work we get, and without much trouble. We have printed our own tracts and hymn books. Friends, I now conclude, we do not want your money, but we need your young men. May I earnestly plead with you to try and persuade your younger men to come and take part in this glorious work. Work the works of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Reverend S. Pramanandam of the Free Church Mission, Royapuram, a gifted preacher, followed this report with a special address on the word in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This then was the way in which, as his children, we found it easiest and most natural to work together. We were not office holders in a formal constituted organization, drawing funds from mission, and thus mainly foreign sources. We were merely brothers together in Christ, equally committed to his service with all we were and all we had.